also want to honor and remember our veterans. Veterans Weekend and Veterans Day was Friday. And if you served in the armed forces or are currently serving, would you please stand that we may honor you? And if you could do that, we could thank you. Thank you, guys. How about we open with a word of prayer, and then I'll have Cole come up here and tell us a little bit about the mission. Oh, Lord Jesus, well, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, past and present and future. We pray for those that are coming up here to speak this morning. Pray that you give them a peace that surpasses all understanding, that it would guard their hearts and their minds, that you would speak through them by the power of your Holy Spirit that is in them, that you would give them the words, and pray that you prepare our hearts for what it is that you want us to take from this morning, and that we may fall more in love with you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, Cole, I'm going to ask you to come up and share a little bit about the mission, specifically kind of what they do, and
focus on the Lord. All the distractions are cut out. You are not allowed to make phone calls. You're not allowed to have any contact with the world. Everything else is shut out to where your focus can just be on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you're able to start to get poured into. We start to pour into them, and God starts to heal them. There's wounds and stuff that we have deep down within our hearts that we don't even realize are there. But during this process, God's healing that, and we just continue to pour into those people. And as you progress into this phase, the next phase of the program is the training phase, where you're able to start reconnecting with your family, because our God is a God of restoration. And many families have been hurt by our actions as well. And they may be reluctant at first to have contact with their family members, but God brings restoration. He starts to make it possible for them to reach out and then to start have visits, and they can see the work that God's doing in their life. And they start to develop that trust for that they lost over the years, and God just starts to bring them back together. So we encourage that they have visits once a week, and then they are able to make phone calls. They're able to get a position in the house where they're able to learn how to be submissive to authority, and they have a leader over them, and they start to get trained in different duties and different tasks for the house. The first 4 month period is vital that we just pour into them. We love on them, and God continues to heal them of their wounds. In the second 4 months of the program, that's where you start to pour out. The word says, "He who waters will be refreshed." So we're pouring into you that first 4 months, and we're filling up your cup. Well, actually, it's the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit uses us as vessels, and He just uses us as conduits to speak life into them. And then as He fills up their cup, the next 4 months, they are able to pour out into other people. New people come into the program, they're able to encourage them. It says, encourage them with the sufferings that you have went through, and comfort those with the sufferings you went through. And it also says in Corinthians, it says that He chose the lowly and the despised and the shameful things of the world in order to confound the wise, that His glory might be manifested in our lives. You can really see that it is only God that can take somebody from the ashes and make them into, He says, the clay. He is the potter, and we are the clay, and we are marred in His hand, and He will mold us into a perfect His perfection, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, like I said, the last 4 months, you're pouring in on the other people, and you're being worked on at the same time. During this phase, it's called the resident phase. It's a 4 month period where you're actually given a mantle, a position in the house, where you're able to learn how to be a leader, and you have people under you. You're able to delegate them different tasks, and it's training you up how to be a leader and be in charge of something so you can be prepared when you go out there. The last 2 months phase of the program is called the Trainee Counselor Program. During this phase, you're learning how to be a minister. He said, equip the saints that they may go forth and bring forth the gospel. So during this phase, you're learning to, you're still pouring out, but you're learning how to minister to other people. You take them on counseling walks. You have to be accountable. You have to set up a standard for Christ. So you have to walk in the standard. You have to walk in your spiritual authority, and you minister to other people in the house. But you have to be ready to pray and be discerning of the sheep in a flock, because you're getting raised up to be a shepherd, and you have to be willing to lay your own life down. He says, consider it all loss compared to the glory of knowing Christ Jesus. You have to know the cost of discipleship. It is a discipleship program, and the structure, it is very structured. It is a complete lifestyle change. It's more than just a program. It's a lifestyle change. It's a life-altering decision when you make the decision to come through the program, and not everybody makes it through, because it is very hard, and it is very demanding. But if you can continue to seek God through all of it, He will bring you through. You need to learn to lean on Him in all things. He said all things. So if you lean on Him, He will give you the strength, and you allow His Holy Spirit to use you as a vessel and consider your life as nothing apart from Christ. He will use you in order to build other people up. We are called to raise them up. And so, like I said, this last two-month phase, you're learning how to minister to other people and be discerning of the needs and be able to recognize that and just minister to them on the spot with prayer and stuff like that. They can look to you when they're going through things, because it is going to be hard, and there's a lot of hardships we go through. But if they can learn to deal with it during this time as God's continually healing them, they will be more prepared to go out there and be a disciple of Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what we're all called to be. We're called to be disciples, and we're called to go make more disciples and multiply. So after that physical program, then you're given the option if you feel called to go on to staff training, but that's another area I'm not going to go into.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. Thank you, Cole. I think you're a little excited about this program, which is good. I can feel your passion and enthusiasm for the Lord and what God's doing there. Thank you, Cole, for sharing that. Well, Jocelyn, if you could come up here and... Well, did you ever think you would be here in Decorah, Iowa, sitting in front of people, kind of sharing your story?
No.
Yeah, you and me both. Every Sunday I come up here, and your director was talking about you being a little nervous, and I said, well, I'm nervous every Sunday I come up here, and this is what I do. And one of the things I always pray before I come up here is, Lord, I feel weak, but when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And so I always pray that, and pray that He give me the strength to say what He wants me to say. So I just want you to know that you're not alone if you feel nervous. But thank you for being willing to sit up here and kind of share a little bit of your story. So if you wouldn't mind, Jocelyn, share a little bit of briefly what your life was like maybe before you came to Crestville Mission, and kind of give us a picture of that.
Well, I started using when I was about 13 years old, and I'm going to fast forward to where my first miracle began.
Sure.
So I was using up until I found out I was pregnant with my son in my senior year of high school, and I quit everything. I quit smoking cigarettes, and I was good for a while. I was working, and I had it all under control, so I thought I didn't remember looking in the ceiling, up to the ceiling, going, God, if there's a God, you know, help me change. I need to change. I want something better, or take me out. I can't keep feeling this pain, this hurt. And meanwhile, my mom met Jenna Hope. She went to the mission. And
that was going to be my next question. How did you hear? How did you hear about the mission? So that was the first time that you heard about the mission, and was that at that time? Were you ready to ask for help at that? Were you at the end of your own?
Yeah. Okay. Because 3 days after I prayed this prayer in the motel room I was in, I ended up in the hospital. I overdosed. And
how long ago was that, Jocelyn?
This was 6 years ago.
6 years ago. Okay.
So this is my second time to the mission.
Your second time. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But I didn't complete it the first time.
Okay.
I left on my own strength. And the first time I came to the mission, that's when I got saved. But then I thought I could, go out and start my life again, because I thought I had it all figured out. I felt like I was strong enough. And this time coming back to the mission, it was completely different. It wasn't to get sober. Like, it was to get clean, but it was for my relationship with the Lord.
Where are you from originally? Where's home?
A little town called Lomac, Wisconsin.
Okay. How many hours is that from here?
3.5.
3.5. Okay, so not too far away. So the second time, kind of walk me through, when is it that this time, so you kind of like, okay, I need to go back. When did that light bulb or that moment happen?
So I left between those 6 years. I ended up getting married and having my daughter. And me and my husband would, use, and then I got to the point where I'm just not happy anymore. I'm done. So I, we did things that we shouldn't have. Pulled a gun on me in front of my daughter and took me to the point of unconscious. And the Lord was.
Did you say choked
me to the
point
of
your unconscious? Sense. Yeah, it's interesting how you almost just glossed over that.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine that.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. That had to be, all of that had to be quite emotional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I knew I just couldn't live like that anymore. But my daughter's actually with him right now, so my goal is to complete this, as hard as it is, so I can get focused via her.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long have you been now at the mission this time?
Almost
4 months. Okay. Do you have some favorite Bible passage or a verse or some scripture that really speaks to you that you like, or a book of the Bible?
I like Joel 2:25, and that is he's going to restore what the locust has taken. So I know that God is going to bring my kids back to me.
That's definitely a good one. Well, how has the Crestville mission in these 4 months, how would you say it's changed your life this time around? What's different this time around and that you're there now?
I'm more serious about it, like my relationship with the Lord, and I know that if I don't do this, Dad, I'm not going to make it.
How long do you plan on staying at the Cresco Mission, or maybe you haven't even thought of that? Do you have a timeline, or it's just one day at a time?
Just take a day at a time, but I know I can't leave until I'm called to leave.
Yeah, okay. Well, I can definitely see that you're broken, and it's when we're broken that the Lord, His power is made perfect in our weakness. And so when you have nothing else to on but Him, that's the best place to be. You talked a little bit about when you do leave Crestville Mission, what it is you're hoping, you know, to get custody, and anything else you're hoping to do, or maybe fears or worries or concerns that you have. That might be a little heavy or a little deep to think about. When you eventually leave Crestville Mission, do you have any worries or fears or concerns?
My fear is I'll go back to my husband.
And just that situation being so unhealthy. Okay. What is it you'd want someone to know who's struggling with an addiction, any kind of addiction? You know, and I think of addictions today, there's stuff that we just all, anything can so easily become an addiction in our life. It could be something, anything that we can turn into a god that we become obsessed with. I've shared with our people many times that I'm very OCD. I'm obsessive compulsive about things, and I can latch on to any fitness is one thing for me. Exercise, I can get so consumed with it sometimes where it becomes my main focus. And you know, exercise is good when it's in its proper place. Paul said to Timothy, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And I'm just amazed how we can turn anything into an addiction. So what is it you want someone to know who's struggling today with something that they're obsessed about, or they're in it and they see no way out of it? What would you want them to know? Well, Jocelyn, I probably just need to write down those last three statements you made, all of us. when the sun sets you free and there's no high like the sun most high. That's an interesting one. When you're sick and tired, it takes a lot to reach that point, would you say? Yeah, I think for me too, because I always battle in my flesh thinking, well, I'll just try harder. I'll just do it. I'll be more disciplined. I'll be more committed. And we do need discipline and commitment, but we really need dependence upon the Lord moment by moment, hour by hour. So, how about we just say a prayer for you, Jocelyn, and I think the next guy is John to come up. Is that correct? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, Lord, we thank you for life today. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for Jocelyn. Thank you for her heart, her openness, her realness, her honesty, her sincerity, her desire to move forward, Lord. Pray that you would help her, give her the strength that she needs to do what you've called her to do. Mold her and shape her into the godly woman that you've called her to be. Protect her from the evil one. Deliver her from temptation. Wrap your loving arms around her that she may feel your presence and know that you love her and that you have a plan and a purpose for her life and that you haven't forgotten about her and her situation and her child and her family. And pray, Lord, that your will be done. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jocelyn. Yeah, thank you so much. It's John, right? John, how you doing this morning? I'll ask you the same question I asked Jocelyn. Do you ever think you'd be in Decorah, Iowa, up here on stage sharing a part of your story in life? Yeah, not really. I have to agree with you there. So how about where are you from originally? Where's home for you?
I grew up in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Green?
34 years on my life.
Okay. Are you a Packers fan?
That's very important.
I am.
You are?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah. I have some stories.
You what?
I have some stories. Sure.
You have some stories?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Okay.
A couple of the Packers might go to my church.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, so anyone who's a big Packers fan, they need to talk to you afterwards. Then. Okay. All right. Yeah. The Lions, which is my team, you know.
Didn't they just beat us or something?
Yeah. And Aaron Rodgers, even after he lost to us, he said he it's terrible to lose to that team. That's how you referred.
Yeah, right.
That's a real insult. Can
right.
you talk to
well,
him if
well
you see him?
You can talk to him about pursuing the Dalai Lama or whatever he's doing. I think it's because he switched teams up there, so, you know.
Oh, man. Well, I think we need to get this back on track, or this could suddenly become ESPN hour. Well, tell me, John, if briefly, what was your life like before coming to the mission? If you could give us a little picture of that, what were you dealing with?
Yeah, I was similar where I married someone with a besetting sin issue like mine. I usually
with what
a besetting sin issue like mine of drugs and alcohol.
Okay,
so
you called it a besetting sin. A besetting
yeah,
sin.
Yeah, so
issue. Okay.
As far as like how we. Kind of talk about these things. I try to, everything's spiritual, everything's what God's word speaks about. So, I mean, you know, drugs and alcohol addiction is a besetting sin. It's something that, so I just, I've been separated from my wife. I was separated and then subsequent going through a divorce. So what brought me to my knees in the last few months was suicidal depression. And on top of, I had started using alcohol. Some other substances.
Were you working?
Yeah, I was in nursing school. I've been in school for, I realized when I was sitting in my bunk the other night, I've been in school for like the last 7 years of my life and putting a lot of pressure on myself. So that was a lot of it too. I finished my LPN at the end of July. So I was in nursing school and going through a divorce, basically, kind of just, you know, everything kind of the pressure. Her and I started using together about 2.5 years ago, and the marriage had been pretty much difficult from the beginning. There was violence in the marriage. I married someone who was, in the reverse situation where it's the man, you know, getting abuse coming at, you know, and so there was a lot of things like that. I had my set of baggage and same issues as well, and so.
Sure, okay. And then when did you reach, I like how Joshua said it, when you were sick and tired of it and knew you needed help and was it hard for you to ask for help? When was that point?
We had actually sought counsel from our local church in Owine, we separated. So
you
that
said Owine, that's not.
Yeah, so we could, so we both could get help, we separated back in February.
Okay, but Owen's just down the road here.
Yeah.
Oh, so do you now live here?
Yeah, I've been in Iowa for about the last 7, 8, 9 years of my life.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and so I went to go get help and stay at a men's center there in Owen. We were both supposed to get counsel and kind of do some things during our separation, and that didn't happen as planned. So we just continued on with the separation. And so I went to get clean and do the things I needed to do. We were both kind of gotten our assignments from the church and the elder board and stuff. And it just didn't go as planned.
Okay.
And so,
why do you think it didn't go as planned?
guess I'm just trying to take ownership from my heart.
Okay.
I would, I guess, in the simplest terms, she walked away from,
yeah,
from the marriage.
Okay.
And so as I was doing my doing what I was being prescribed by the church, it was just kind of, there wasn't a lot of resources to help her and stuff like that at the church. But
okay.
So as far as I, my bitterness consumed me. So I mean, as far as focusing and taking ownership for my part, I struggled with the process as well. So.
And then, how did you hear about Crestwell Mission? How long? What's the timeline? How long ago was that?
That was, I've known about the Crestwell Mission. I also have been, like, I'm 43, so in my, since my 20s, I've been kind of in and out of rehab sort of thing. As far as, I've been to a mission before. I was at the Crestwell Mission actually 10 years ago.
Okay.
And so, and I was a heroin addict when I got there that time, and I've still been clean from heroin for 9 years. This time was kind of, I guess, if we, like, look at it, it's really hard because, like I said, everything's spiritual and these same issues, and so it's difficult to, the Lord led me out of that, Egypt, as far as, that was the apex of how bad my addiction got. I don't know how to say that. And so this time it was through different circumstances that I fell back into those patterns again.
Okay.
But what drove me to my knees was losing my family. What drove me to my knees was losing my family, realizing that I had I didn't stay in it. I wasn't following God. I wasn't walking in a manner worthy of the gospel. I wasn't loving my wife like Christ loved the church. I wasn't, you know, I mean, I had my part in how I lost my family as well. Just because I partook in using drugs and alcohol with my wife, is, you know, I was the leader of the family. I failed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I guess I'm trying to, you know, so that brought me to depression and suicidal thoughts during this separation, during going through everything.
Yeah. John, I just think about what you just said, being the leader of the family, as men, that's just the role that God has put us in, and, you know, you accepting responsibility for that and acknowledging that, it's a big thing. So, you know, I don't know why it is, but a lot of times ladies come to church by themselves and their husband, you know, kind of calling him to come, and that's not how it should be. You know, God has really laid a lot of responsibility on us as men to take that spiritual headship and leadership in the home. So thank you for sharing that. So what's different this time around now that you're at, how long have you been at the Crestwell Mission?
I've been there about 3 months.
3 months, okay. What do you feel or sense? How is this time different maybe from the prior time and prior help that you've gotten?
I think 10 years ago I was facing a lot of charges and the addiction, like the fallout from the consequences of what I did were a lot different, so that makes it different this time to be able to switch gears and switch focus. Not having earthly consequences that are the same, like the fallout being the same. I mean, losing a family has been the most difficult thing. Like, I'm turning flesh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a different kind of pain. But as far as, like, I don't have legal things hanging over my head. I don't have, so that makes it different. Like, the way I, the way I can move forward. And so that stuff makes it different, and then also, like, being older and more mature to having been discipled and having sat under a local church, authority, and having had God's word, and I was doing some schooling for theology at the school, at the church in Owine, and so that makes it so when you come back to the Lord, you remember everything you've been taught and everywhere he brought you from, and understanding the gospel. I mean, one of my life verse is Galatians 2:20. I have a few, of course, but like when we actually like are thinking, I have been crucified with Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Like when we actually like, I go running, right, and I like exercise too. But so and I pray that stuff because when I go back and remember who I am in Christ. Christ
yes.
and everything that I have. That's why this discipleship is so important. Everything Cole talked about is so important. Discipleship. And it takes seasons of your life.
Yeah.
So when you come back to the Lord,
yeah.
It's a different, do you know what I mean? He's brought you places.
Yeah.
He's led you
yeah.
places. He's
yeah.
led you out of the desert. You know that he will. You
yeah.
know he's shown you how to walk in the valley.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, I don't want to ramble.
Thank you, John. I like how you said seasons of your life. I think we all go through different seasons in our life. And looking back, like you said, when you can see, when you have that relationship with the Lord, you have something to call on and something to look back on and build on. And yeah. Well, I was going to ask you to share one of your favorite verses, and you did. That's a good one, Galatians 2:20. Any other passages that you are books in the Bible that you like or really cling to?
I think I'm OCD too, probably. I'm OCD and stuff a little bit too,
okay.
probably. With the whole, like, the intellectual pride and a lot of that stuff and exercise, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Romans 12:3 is like one that probably should put that above Galatians 2:20 because
yeah.
it says a humble estimation of yourself.
Yes.
And then it goes on to talk about the other gifts in the church and others. And so I have to focus on those things.
Yeah.
Because I will get ahead of myself and I will quickly become prideful in all these areas that the world doesn't notice and other people don't notice. But they reveal, if we're true to the Lord in prayer about it, it reveals our wicked, deceitful heart, really.
Yeah.
Quick, you know, and so.
John, that is a great verse. Romans 12:3, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. I quote that a lot, and also, I think it's Galatians 6:14. May I never boast except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and sometimes I'll share, like, if there's a message on a Sunday morning, I think it went really well, and people are like, yeah, that was a great message. It will start immediately to go to my head, and I will quote those verses.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, because you can, like, I like how you said, you can feel that pride is surfacing up in
yeah.
you. Yeah, that was just great insight. Thank you for sharing that. How long do you plan on staying at Cresco Mission? Maybe you don't know that. And what are you hoping to do when you leave Cresco Mission? And do you have any fears or worries or concerns?
I think I'm going to stay there as long as the Lord leads. Staff training this time will be probably something I should just kind of resign myself to because I've done it before, and when you've done something before and maybe it didn't work, I mean, that's not exactly how, you know what I mean, be a big long explanation of that, but it's time to invest myself and stay, you know, I also don't, you know, I'm not going back to where I was before.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, I'm not going back to that area. I'm not, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
I'm kind of, the Lord has, a lot of times he closes all these other doors.
Sure.
And he says, this is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Get on your knees.
Yeah.
You know, put your head down on the ground.
Yeah.
And so I know that I will stay as long as the leadership is leading me to say, hey, this is the next thing God has for you before you go back out there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just stay in prayer about that and kind of resign myself to help out and give back to this
yeah.
this organization
yeah.
that has helped me so much.
I think that's excellent, John. Sounds like you have a servant's heart. Sounds like the Lord has
So you have to find someone, like a man, find a man. Find someone that you can just, I need help, you know, and that's the way God designed that, you know, we're forgiven, you know, but to be healed, to seek healing here, you have to find someone, you have to start. So you have to reach out. You can't just leave it, you know, men dealing with men, women getting with women.
John, that is such a good point. You know, Satan wants to drive us into places of isolation. You know, I can throw a great pity party, you know, for myself. And we resist that. I don't know why that is. And I feel like here in our church, we've really struggled with that a lot. People who have been here for a while know that I've encouraged people to get into a small group, form a small group, develop some connections. But I think, you know, the God of this world, Satan, wants to keep us busy, wants to keep us running 24/7, and wants to keep us out of friendships and relationships so that we're not open and transparent.
Transparency stinks. I mean, it's no fun. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's necessary.
It's, man, that's so well said. Yeah, it's so necessary. And like you said, it can be hard, but yeah, you know, I tell people, we had our membership class last weekend, and, you know, I was telling people, every once in a while someone will come to me with some issue that they're having in their life, with their job or their marriage or something, and I'll say to them, who else knows about this? And they'll say, well, no one. And I'll say, so no one here at church? I'll say, no. I said, you're not in a small group with any other people? No. And it just breaks my heart, because there's nobody that can pray for them, encourage them. And like you said so well, share that burden with them. You know, that James talks about, James 5:17, which is another great verse. So I always love meeting with you guys. You know your Bible so well. And I can just see God planting his word in your heart. And the word of God is alive and active. It's powerful, sharp as a double-edged sword. And you can see that changing you. So, well, thank you, John. Thank you for sharing that. How about we pray for you, and then we'll have Sergio come out and close us up. Jesus, Lord, we thank you for life today. Thank you for John and his life. We see you working in him, moving in him. We can see that you have a plan and a purpose for him. Just pray that you guide him, lead him, direct him, and may your will be done in his life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Sergio. Or John. Sergio, thank you for... I probably should close right now due to time, but I just like hearing your guys' stories. So we might go over a little bit today, but we might not ask you quite as much. You might get off the hook a little bit. So tell me what your life was like before coming to Crestville Mission.
I was in a big mess. I was addicted to amphetamine. Even though I was an addict, I still worked, you know, I still took care of my family.
Where's home for you?
It's Waterloo.
Waterloo, okay. And family, tell me a little bit about your family, if that's not too personal.
No, not at all. My mom, she owns a restaurant in Waterloo called Chapala. It's a Tex-Mex restaurant. And my stepdad, he's a subcontractor for Iowa Walk.
Okay.
And I was working in both places. I worked for my stepdad in the mornings, and I would help my mom, you know, after I got out from
find out about Presco Mission, and was it hard for you to ask for help?
It was. Like I said, my mom didn't notice that I was in my mess because I took care of myself. You know, even though I was in my mess, I'm still working. I was still maintaining.
Okay.
And it wasn't until I got in trouble, I got pulled over, and like she saw that possessions, you know, that I had, and like my mom's just Christian, so you know.
Your mom's what?
Christian. So,
okay.
Yeah. So she found out about the mission and like from her church and like
yeah. Praise God for moms who find out about things.
Yes.
Moms always find out about things.
Oh, yeah. And,
yeah,
she told me about the mission, and at first I buckled. I was like, I'm not doing it in months. I was like, this is provide for my kids. You know,
you have kids.
Yes, I have three boys.
Three boys. Okay, and are you married?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are your boys' ages?
It's 6, 4, and 1.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, when she said that. You said, hey, 8 months, I don't know if I can do this.
So that was, I know I needed help. I just got to a point in my life that I was tired of it, you know. I got old, and I knew I needed help, and, you know, and I was blessed by a good mother, you know, she's so lovable. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do 8 months in the mission. I called and they explained the program, and I liked it, but it's just, like, mom seemed like such a long time.
How long have you been in now?
Almost 8 months.
Okay. All right.
And I have decided to stay for the staff training.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Well, tell me, do you have a favorite Bible verse or passage or book in the Bible that you like?
I actually like all the 13 letters of Paul.
All the 13 letters. All of it's good.
Yeah, so much meaning.
I can't argue with that. What are you hoping to do moving forward, or what are your fears or worries or concerns when you leave the Cresco Mission? Or do you want to leave now? Or you wanted that 8 months, and now it's here, and so,
yeah, so
where's
well,
God leading you?
Yeah, so once I received the Holy Spirit, I didn't understand it, but once I was able to understand it, like right now I get a lot of Holy Spirit confirmations, you know, and like God.
Sorry, I Sergio, to interrupt you. Talk about what Holy Spirit confirmations mean to you. Unpack that.
It can be numerous of things. Let's say if you hear like. Sometimes I have a question, and, like, I pray about it, and, like all of a sudden, like, a thought comes to my head, and I feel Holy Spirit confirmation. For me, it's like a big wave of electricity all over my body, or, like, you know, and, like, it's a weird feeling, you know, and, like, at first, when I was in the mission, I didn't understand what it was. That was until I talked to other brothers about it, and they said I felt the same thing.
Okay, thank you. And so, leading back into your story, talk a little bit about your next step now, where you feel the Holy Spirit's leading you, or in your heart you feel.
Yeah, and like I said, I didn't want to leave. I wasn't afraid of going back to my mess. What I was afraid now was dying spiritually, you know, forgetting about God, start working again. And
okay.
Like, that was my biggest fear. Well, that's my biggest fear right now.
Yeah.
I was going back to the world, slowly and surely forgetting about God.
Yeah.
You know, so that was my biggest fear. And, like, I want to be spiritually grown enough so when I go out there, you know, I still have God in my mind and, like, you know, be my first priority. You know?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, find a church.
Yeah. I like the way you said that, Sergio. I think every one of us battles with that. Is the days can go by so quickly.
They do.
And before we know it, you know, to me, the most important thing for me
me every day is to have quality time alone with the Lord in His Word.
Amen.
Every day. And if I don't, I become irritable and edgy, and my whole countenance and everything about me changes. Probably my favorite verse, I've been asking you guys, I have a lot of them, like one of you said, is when Jesus says, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I feel like so many Christians today just starve themselves spiritually because they're not in the Word, and they soon forget because it's so easy to become engrossed in the world and back into your old lifestyle.
Yeah, to quench the Holy Spirit.
What, quench the Holy Spirit? Yes, well said. Well said, Sergio. Lastly, what would you want someone here this morning who's struggling with an addiction? What would you want them to know?
Just to remember that, that God's out there, lean on Him. Any troubles you have, just surrender yourself, deny yourself, carry your cross, and He's your rock, He's your fortress. Just lean on Him. Whenever I get in my flesh or I get any type of mixed emotion, I lean on Him. I pray, and I feel like 100 pounds off my back just gets off, and I feel refreshed, both spirit, mind, and soul. And just ready to go again.
Thank you, Sergio. Thank you for sharing that. Well, how about we pray for you? How about we do that? Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time this morning with Cresco Mission. Thank you for their willingness to come here this morning. Looking forward to Thanksgiving meal with them. We thank you for this food, for the hands that have prepared it. We acknowledge that every good and perfect gift is from above. And we thank you for Sergio, Lord, and know that you have gifted him, and pray that you would continue to work in him. And when it's your time to take him back to his family and home, that you would open up that door and protect him from the evil one, protect him from this world that we live in today. Guard his heart, guard his mind, and may you help him that he doesn't conform to the pattern of this world, but that he would always seek to put you first in everything. May you truly be his Lord and Savior, heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And we thank you, Jesus, for this time.